Welcome to this midweek edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, today as we begin the program, I'd like you to comment on an article that was recently published on Bloomberg.com, which is one of my favorite financial websites. But this particular article took a very unusual approach to the idea of Americans becoming savers.
Well, it seemed contradictory, Dave, because the headline said that as Americans become savers, it's going to worsen this nasty recession that's coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that they could have made some real good news about that. In other words, all the financial panic and fear has created a higher rate of savings, and that's exactly what we need in this country, right?
Right.
But it was saying it's going to worsen the recession. But bear in mind that today, good news doesn't sell. So even though this is actually very good news, they had to put it in a context to try to get people to read it. And guess what?
It worked.
Yeah, you and I both read it.
Sure.
I did too. And I thought, how could that be? But here's what they're telling us, Dave, that for three decades, in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, all the way up till 1990, the average household savings rate in America was 9%, get this, of after-tax income, not of gross income. In other words, it was just a part of our culture. And suddenly in 1990, that whole decade and leading up to this, we stopped saving money. In fact, the savings rate plunged to less than 1% in the three previous years. Dave, think about that. We weren't saving any money at all. We were actually living beyond our means as a culture. But just this last couple of months, with this fear and uncertainty, the savings rate has started to improve. I think we saved like 2.1% last month, which is not a big amount.
Sure.
But it's a step in the right direction. At the same time, during that period, consumer borrowing fell $7.9 billion. That's the most in a single month since they started recording that statistic in 1943. And that's what they're concerned about. In other words, you and I would say savings is a good thing. But as the economists look at it, they're saying, uh-oh, they stopped borrowing. And that's a bad thing. This economy turns on borrowing. In fact, 72% of the economy is driven by consumer spending in this culture. So yes, it's bad overall for the recession, but it's a great thing according to God's financial principles.
Well, Chuck, thanks for the information. And in just a moment, we'll introduce you to our guest, Brian Ray. We'll be talking about employment during these difficult economic times. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today I get to introduce you to a longtime friend of Crown Financial Ministries, Brian Ray. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, Brian, there is so much movement in the job market right now, lots of uncertainty, lots of people predicting that it's going to get tough out there. What's your outlook on the job market in the immediate future?
I think it's going to be more than a bad cold. I think it's going to be the flu and some nausea, particularly as it goes up and down and you get dizzy and fall down. It's and maybe it does get to 8, 9, depending on where you are in the country, 10%+ unemployment.
Well, when was the last time it was at 10%?
I remember being in a market in North Carolina, and at the time we were doing a job fair, and it was 10.6%.
Wow. That's high. What year was that?
2003. And that was August 2003, 10.6%.
Wow.
So that was a very difficult. Now, that's a very heavily manufacturing area, and manufacturing has been continuing to lose employment in the U.S. for a long time.
Well, Brian, we're currently at about 6.1% unemployment, and some are predicting up to, as you said, 8, 9, maybe even 10%. So if that were to occur, what types of jobs are going to be most affected if that begins to happen?
There's a lot of energy and has been for a long time around healthcare, particularly specific healthcare jobs. There's industries and then there's occupations. So the entire industry of healthcare, particularly the delivery part, whether it's physicians or hospitals and that sort of thing, that's going to continue to increase both as an industry and as an occupation. There are a number of services, particularly business services, whether it's accounting or consulting or information technology. Some of those are taking a bit of a dip right now, but they're going to continue in the main to grow. So I think the most important thing to watch out for is not necessarily the overall industry only, but watch out for those sub-industries that offer high value, particularly at low cost. I mean, even retail that's taking a hit right now, and as we head into the through the Christmas holidays, is going to take a hit versus last year. However, there are high value retailers that are doing very well at this time.
And give me an example of that one.
Yeah, Walmart and Target are doing very, very well. Some of the midline department stores are not doing as well, and that's because their price points are somewhere in the middle. The guys that do the best are the particularly high-value, low-cost, whether it's products or services or retail, and then the very high-value, very high-cost, but the market for them is so tight and so specific, there are very few alternatives. Ferraris, for example, that may not take as much of a drop as Fords, which are in the middle. That's typically what happens in economic times. So what's important from the employee or job seeker point of view is to not just look at the overall industry or particular broad occupational categories, but look at the specific occupations in specific companies organizations and see where they're headed.
Well, let's flip this over and talk about the fields that people need to avoid. Are there fields that it looks like they're going to go into a dip for a long period of time, and you just wouldn't advise folks to even be looking in that direction right now?
Right. I would, number one on my list would be manufacturing. The manufacturing category has been losing employees for years, and that's not really expected to change at all. Another one that's very much affected right now is construction, and that will continue to have slippage to it. The retail trade will be up and down, but I think for the next several months anyway, that's going to continue to be on the downslide. Related to all of those will be transportation and warehousing. There's already been declines there. And then, not surprisingly, the whole financial services category is losing.
Well, Brian, that's a great overview of what to avoid. But are there some jobs that are just always secure and that people really need to be thinking about getting into those fields?
Yes. Again, healthcare would be a tremendously growing sector and will continue to be for a long time. Anything with the word energy attached to it. Whether it's oil or alternatives to oil is going to continue to go and grow. Computers, both in terms of products and services. Now, that's one where the overall category should continue to grow, but you really have to watch out for some of the subcategories and particular companies within it. Education is another one that's going to continue to be a big employer, not just teachers, but the support functions for teachers. Those are the ones that I immediately think of in terms of being more stable and continuing to grow over the long term.
Well, Brian, there are so many people who have been in real estate and, say, mortgage banking, and I know those areas have been really hard hit. People who have been home builders, construction-related trades. Are there some hot fields developing into the future that people with those skill sets can take and start to convert over into new, fast-growing areas? Because some of these people were top professionals. They were doing extremely well, and the bottom fell out on them. And it doesn't make them any less of a professional. They just are not sure what opportunities they need to be looking at right now.
That is a great question, because it requires, to answer that question, it requires unhinging the job you do in the industry in which you work. And most people will call that job you do and the skills that you have to do it as transferable skills. So, for example, a number of people in real estate are excellent salespeople, but the same skills that makes them great salespeople in real estate would make them great salespeople in healthcare, in energy, even in the teaching and education profession. So that's just one way to illustrate for someone who's in one of those categories that's taking a bad hit, is to take a look at what you're really skilled at, what you have your abilities in. In fact, what God has gifted you in, and take a look and see how that skill set applies in other industries. Probably it's going to be in the service-related industry versus manufacturing industry, because manufacturing as a whole category will continue to shrink in the U.S.
Well, Brian, when we come back, I want to talk about job security and how to hang on to the job you've got right now. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back with more of Brian Ray.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money Package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money Package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Brian Ray. Brian, when we left off, we were talking about the whole concept of job security, and I can't tell you how many emails I get of people who have been two income earners. Somebody's lost their job. They're very concerned about reemployment, but they're also looking the other way and saying, you know, Lord, how do I hang on to the one job we do have in our household? Because there's so much uncertainty in many, many categories right now. Is there real job security, Brian?
Well, yes and no. I don't know that there's real security in anything or anyone outside of Jesus Christ. And while that's an easy thing to say, it can sometimes be a hard thing to practice, but it's a wonderful thing to realize that in Him I have security. In anything else, I'm vulnerable. And that's as important in the job and the career space as any other. There are some things that I think that an individual can do to help their employability. The employment may go away, a particular job may go away, but the employability, that is the ability to be employed, I think there's some very specific things you can do. Would it be helpful to just quickly touch on those?
Yeah, what are those things?
Okay, well, I've kind of labeled them as four skill sets to success in your career, we'll put it that way. And the very first of the four skill sets is attitude, all about attitude toward your job. And as I think about job, I think about the three letters J for joy, O for obedience, and B for best. That is the right attitude to have towards your job. to have joy no matter what's going on, to be obedient no matter what is asked of you within the context of ethics and morality, etc., and then to always be your best. And somebody with an attitude skill set, and I call it a skill set because there are specific things you learn how to do and you practice them. So that's number one is attitude skills. Number two are task or technical skills related to your specific job. So you want to be the best related to accounting, to carpentry, to computer sales, to training, or whatever. Third category is people skills in your job. And that's not only how to get along with people, but how to really communicate, to listen and to direct, to have teamwork. And if you're in a supervisory job, there are a number of skills in terms of how you relate to other people whom you are managing. And then the fourth group of skills is what I call explorer skills. And these relate to your career and your job in terms of how do you find jobs and careers and calling. And there are six specific steps in what we call walking through a crossroads in your career. So those are the four skill sets: attitude, task, people, and explorer.
Well, Brian, I want to talk to you about those further on another day because that is a very rich list. And as I look at it, I think, okay, if you really apply those things, then you probably will have almost an unfair advantage to stay employed over somebody else who doesn't apply those skills.
Absolutely.
Are there some very practical steps that our listeners need to take, let's say tomorrow morning, to enhance their employment security? We've been talking about this week because I think it's addressing a real need. People want to know, what do I do? And I so appreciate your answer that there is no security in the world. The Lord told us that himself. And there's only security in him, as we both know, Brian.
Right.
And when I take that attitude and that dependency into the workplace, what do I need to do on Monday morning to be sure that I'm distinguishing myself as a capable, value-added employee?
There are two things that immediately come to my mind. The first one is to be flexible and to be a servant. And I would start both those things by going into my boss, who, if he's really aware of what's going on, may be wringing his or her hands right now about what to do. I met with a man this morning who is looking at having to make decisions about a layoff. It is so painful to them. So my suggestion is go in, talk to your boss, and then ask, wow, this is really an interesting or a tough time in our particular organization. What can I do to help you do what you need to have done? And I'm willing to be flexible, and I want to be your servant, and however that might manifest itself. Immediately, you've distinguished yourself as someone who is a servant, perhaps a servant leader, because the employer is trying to figure out, how am I going to make payroll the way it is now? How am I going to serve my customers? I can't get the credit that I need. The sales are dropping off. Costs are going up. I'm between a rock and a hard place. And, by the way, as an employer, I feel alone. And how great would it be if one of my employees came to me and said, I'd really like to help. I know these are tough times, or I would think they would be for someone like you. How can I help you best? What would serve you most? And that, don't make that just a one-time event, but make that a recurring question. And whatever they tell you to do, you know, I would do my very best to do it for them. And if you can't do it, then find somebody who can and continue to have that flexible servant posture in doing your job.
You know, Brian, that's very practical advice. I'm sure in your long career, you've seen people actually employ that with a lot of effectiveness.
And in fact, one of my very favorite employees I was just bragging on earlier today, she actually would practice every week on Monday, hey, what do you need to have completed this week more than anything else? And I'll try to help you get there.
Wow.
And by the way, she now has her own business in part by my sponsorship because I just didn't know anybody that was that committed to helping me accomplish what I was trying to accomplish with my company.
Well, Brian, I have so appreciated what you outlined on the four skill sets to success in your career. I want you to come back tomorrow and let's go deep on that topic. I think that's going to really help a lot of listeners.
that would be great. It'd be a pleasure to do that.
Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, let's stay on the same topic of employment and go a little bit deeper into maybe some of the spiritual aspects of when you lose a job and you need to go find a new job. How is it that you can invite God into that process?
Well, Dave, I always think about the journey that the Lord had Joshua on when he told him to go into the promised land. And he said to him in the very first chapter of Joshua in verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous, and be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." And so when you're on a job hunt, Dave, it's fearful. I mean, you know, it's the uncertainty of that. You don't know where you're going to end up. You have to be very, very open. But the main thing is you can't allow fear to paralyze you. Mm-hmm. Move forward and trust God and be very courageous. And that's a part of inviting God into the equation, is that you do the work, that you don't stand still and wait. And so often what we say is, well, God, I'll move forward if you open the door. I'll move forward if you show me exactly how to move forward. So what we end up doing is we really end up defaulting. And in this case, I think when you need a job, the Lord wants you to get out there and do what it takes to find a job. You knock on the door. You be courageous. You pick up the phone. You ask somebody. You tell somebody your need. You do that part and trust God in the middle of that and watch what God will do. He says he will go with you wherever you go. He said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." That's the third time he said it in just a couple of verses. "Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I think the Lord is saying, just get out there and do it. Mm-hmm. Get on the path, and I'm going to go with you. And that's how you invite God into the journey.
Well, Chuck, sometimes in that process, you may end up coming to a fork in the road. How do you know? What are some ways that you can know and really hear God's voice in the midst of that?
I have always used a very simple test, Dave. When the Lord gives me peace, and I ask Ann, "Do you have peace?" And if she has a check in her spirit or a yellow flag, or she just thinks it may not be right, then we don't go forward. But in most cases, when the two of us feel like, yes, we've got peace about this decision, it's a pretty good confirmation that that's what the Lord wants us to do. And by the way, Dave, prayer and fasting is always a very good step to take when you're on a job hunt, which reminds me, how you doing on your fasting?
Well, thanks for asking. It's going very well, and I'm seeing God at work already. And how about you?
Doing very well. It's always a joy for me, Dave. I truly feel strengthened during this time of denial.
Well, if you'd like to join us on this journey, you can go to crown.org, and there on the homepage, click on the Hope, Help, and Insight banner, and you'll find information on the season of prayer and fasting. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff at Crown Financial Ministries, thanks for listening to this edition of Money Life.